I'd like for you to look at Psalm 100, verse 4, and it'll just be our starting point. It's our theme verse, and then I'll pray briefly. Nick and I did not coordinate anything. Only God does that. But what a wonderful launch to the children, to all of us. God to be praised. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we want to do just this. We want to enter into this room, into this time, enter into the opening, Lord, of your scriptures, your word, that we would have a thankful heart, that you would get the glory, that you would be preeminent in everything here, in our thoughts, our lives, our families, what our days are about, everything that we are, that you would be honored, that your name would be exalted, that we would devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in word and deed. Lord, speak to us, shepherd us. Lord, give your word success in our hearts and our lives to the children. Lord, those that are not in Christ Jesus, let this be the day. Bring them in, Lord. Cause them to see the one great redeeming, reigning Savior, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Would others call you a thankful person? Would you be considered somebody who's thankful? Would they hear it in just how you talk, you know, when you're around others? Would others think that this is a thankful church? I mean, are we just going through all the motions, got to keep this going? Are we a joyful, a praising people, as Brother Nick was exhorting? Are we thankful? And I'm not just talking about, beloved, for the big things. You know, big things. And there are big things that God does for us and in us and around us. But I'm talking about the daily blessings of God in life. Right? The daily blessings of God. Right now, this morning, the rest of today. You know, this week across America, we will observe Thanksgiving. And millions of unthankful people will partake in this. Millions. Now that doesn't need to be us. We'll give thanks to God and enter into it with a right heart. That's my trust by his grace. So it's a paradox when people would enter into something that they're really not even acknowledging or actually being true to what it's about. And we can get caught in the same trap or the same problem. We are to be a thankful people. Now, when we give thanks, there's someone that we give thanks to. We don't just go out and randomly just say thank you for so-and-so, but there's a person. There's someone we give thanks to. A wife to her husband, a child to the parent, a friend to a friend. Thankful. I have a little 2-year-old grandson, Luke, and when I give him little snacks and treats, he says, "Thank you, Pops. Thank you, Pops." He knows Pops did it. So he gives thanks to Pops. And so it gets to the heart of it. When we give thanks, we give thanks to someone. And in our case, we give thanks to God for everything. So when you ask somebody this week, or if you have that opportunity, ask them who they're thankful to. Not just what they're thankful for. I think we should do that. We should do that as friends and family and brethren. But who are we giving thanks to? Who's the focus? That's the heart issue of it. Giving thanks to God. Being centered on him. Things like this. Thank you, Father, for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you, Father, for my family. My children, my grandchildren. Extended family that are dear to you. Thank you, Father, for my job, for work, for provision there. Thank you, Father, for health or recovering of health or new days of strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for my church, for the brothers, for the sisters, for the shepherds, for the deacons, for everyone in your church. Thank you for all of them, Lord. Thank you that they're yours. And thank you, Father, for a sunglasses case. A sunglasses case. Now, come on, Philip. You're going too far. Well, just ask my dad. We couriered him to Little Rock so he could be with my brother and sister. And when it came time to exchange and it was dark outside, Dad could not find... Beloved, these are cheap, right? These little quilted, little padded... Come on now. My dad's just scouring my car looking for him. Dad, I'll find it. Dad, I'll find it for you. Don't worry about it. I'll get it. Maybe not tonight. So we didn't find it that night. The next day, I was getting something out of the car, and buried underneath something was that little 99-cent sunglasses case. And I sent him a note, and he was very, very thankful. God did it. The sunglasses case comes from God. Everything that we have comes from Him. That's how we should live. God is the focus of our thanksgiving. Everything that we are and everything we have. This week, it'll be a theme. But beloved, this is day by day, week by week, year by year. Every mercy in our life, everything that we've ever had, every pair of shoes you've ever owned is by the mercy of God. If you have a dentist that helps you, it's by the mercies and the kindness of God. You've had those moments where you need relief, medically, emotionally, people that help. God's in all of it. David said this, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name." Meaning, it's certain, surely, assuredly, this is what God's people do. They give thanks unto Him, to His name. So it's a certain thing. Well, the Hebrew writer, when he wrote his epistle, speaking to those Christians, he said, "Let us, God's people, offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." It's certain and it's continuous. God is to be glorified and thanked. Yes, thanks. Thanksgiving. It's used 100 times in the Scriptures, almost equally Old Testament and New Testament. It's a theme from beginning to end, giving thanks unto God. Constantly, the Christian, not in some prop-up way, just from the heart. Thank you, Lord. You're outside. You may, one of you men might be working with a tool or doing something like Tom has done all these years, and God keeps you from could have been a mistake, an accident. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you rule my steps. It's a certain and continual thing in the life of a Christian. So I thought it would be good today that we would be reminded to come to this theme of giving thanks to God this week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year, and all the days of our life. A thankful people. Today I would like to focus on this theme in three areas. Number one, giving thanks to God for His greatness, for Him, who He is, giving praise, giving thanks, submitting, honoring Him. Second, giving thanks to God for His provisions, plural. Provisions, His care for His people. And third, giving thanks to God in corporate worship. Here, you men, when you go to work, whatever jobs, men, women, whatever you're about, they don't gather to worship the living God. They might if you're in a gospel-based organization. But when we gather, this is about giving glory and thanks to God. The fruit of our lips, from the heart, songs, exhortations, reading of Scripture, prayer, breaking of bread, full of thanksgiving. So it's corporate. It's to be in all spheres of life. Our children should hear it. Our grandchildren should hear it. That little two-year-old that says, "Thank you, Pops," needs to hear Pops give thanks to God all the time as he's growing up. That I would talk to my son, grandsons, my granddaughters with thanksgiving, thankful for their life, and thankful for God's great mercy in their parents' lives. First, giving thanks to God for His greatness. Giving thanks to God for His greatness. Everybody in the earth that has breath should be about this. But only the redeemed, only those who've gone from death to life, who behold Christ Jesus as the one great Messiah, God who came. They're the ones giving thanks in the right way. But He's to be praised for His greatness. It could be summarized in this psalm right here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Just like Nick was starting us off with. God should be praised. He should be thanked. He should be looked to and worshiped. So since He's great, and we're talking about in all of His being, who He is, His attributes, or what marks who He is, what He's revealed in His Word, all of those things should bring us to thanksgiving and worship for His greatness. everyone. We should teach our children. And we should teach the little ones to give God the glory, do His name. Thank Him for everything that they have. He alone is to be exalted. Right? If He's the great one, the one true great one, then He alone should get all the praise and glory ultimately. That's a soundbite for all the news stations this week before Thanksgiving. Clear the airwaves and say there's one great one that should deserves all of the praise and all of the thanksgiving this week. Every day, actually. Every breath. And it's the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, the God of Daniel, the God of Peter and the God of James and Paul, the God of Esther and Ruth, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves all the glory. Singular. Our songs, our artwork, our lives. I told you the story about taking a metalworks class when I was in college and trying to do out of metal a resurrection scene. And this guy that I had as the instructor was very free-spirited. And he's trying to grapple with Philip over here doing a piece of metal artwork that portrays the resurrection. Everything that has breath, giving thanks. So He alone. Listen to this one, Psalm 30. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Look at that. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. We are to think of God's perfect character, all that He is, His perfection and His holiness, and we're to give thanks. We're to be, in a sense, overwhelmed at the majesty and the preeminence and the power and the glory of God and give thanks. Not to be historians watching, thinking about these things academically, but it would stir the heart. And you know how many hymns in our hymn books and dozens, hundreds of probably other hymn books in the history of the world have been written because people contemplate and meditate and are absorbed or carried away in the greatness of God, and they write hymns about Him. Now, what does that say? The striving of the greatest artwork in the world, in any country, is dealing with spiritual pursuits. And some of them get it right because they know the one great God. But everything that goes back to His holiness should cause us to give thanks. Another psalm, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His holy name. Well, look at the flow of thought there. That's in the NASB. Be glad in the Lord, right? Oh, you righteous ones. Glad, deep, inner joy. Sense of, yes, the goodness of God. Being overwhelmed and being, if you can say it this way, happy in God, in the Holy Spirit. And then he connects, and give thanks to His holy name. I'm not talking about some pretend, make it up happiness. Lee's already covered very fully today another aspect of suffering. But even in hard stretches, even in difficult days, when we think on the greatness of God, we remember His holiness, when we're glad in God, yet the Lord is my joy, the Lord is my strength, then we will give thanks. Our perspective will be right. We will see things from the perspective of God is, He's so good, He's so great, He's so worthy of praise. Do you ever buy a used car or something, and the day you buy it, you just give it to God? I mean, people in the world go, what are you talking about? Have you ever driven a car? Yeah, I've done it. You drive it off the lot, and you go to the next parking lot, and you just get out and say, Lord, this car, it's yours for your glory. You gave it. I'm going to use it for your namesake. Lord, thank you for every mercy. You see, beloved, it's a heart attitude. Everything. We give thanks. We're glad in the Lord. Another one, another psalm. Of the 100, by the way, in the Scriptures, 30 of them, 30% come from the Psalms. This thing of this theme of thankfulness, giving thanks to God. Psalm 75, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Here it is. We recount your wonderful deeds. We bring to mind, a few weeks ago I spoke on remembering, being good rememberers. And we recount, we go back, sometimes with Mac or sometimes with Jeff and I, different ones, even with Tom through the years. We go back, we remember the kindness and the mercies of God, and it drives us just to stop and say, oh Lord, how good you've been to us. You've abounded towards us. Sometimes one of the brothers or sisters will take off and we're thinking, this is going to go on a while. It's true. I mean, Brother Pat back there, you want to get Pat going, just say, brother, just give me the last five years of God's provision and grace for you. You better get a chair and pull up. Pat's going to go on a while. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. If we ask Sister Karen, come up here and give us a 30-year sketch of your walk with God, you and Ron. It should be full. We'd all probably fall on our face and say how good God has been. His wonderful deeds. You know, thinking on those, it's your own life, thinking on it with other brethren, it causes you to give thanks to Him. I kind of got embarrassed about myself recently because there was discussion about the Logic on Fire series. And the night we started it, or early on, we watched it at the Providence House years ago. You brothers remember that? It touched on something about Lloyd-Jones and his marriage with Bethan. And I just lost it. I didn't plan that. I just burst into tears because it took me back to the memory of reading the biography and coming to the end of his days when God took him home and what was happening with his wife and his daughters in that moment. And I didn't plan it, but it was inside. And my tears were thankful for that brother and his life and what God did. It was awesome. We need to be good at recounting his wonderful deeds. Don't keep them tucked away. We need to hear from each other. Another psalm. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a privileged thing. There's plenty of team meetings and Zoom meetings and corporate stuff and business stuff in America that have no gladness and no joy. That's the air of the world. But it's not the air the saints breathe. We have a great God who gives good things, who cares for us, who's in us, the Holy Spirit in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, yes. So we should be giving thanks. It should be our delight. This week, do some special things Thursday. Might be a very small group, might be just your family, you might be able to be with some others. Let it be full of delight in God's glory. Where even family members will be struck by it. Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Listen to the psalmist, beloved. Three great truths. He alone is God. Give thanks, for he is good. Give thanks because he's the God of gods. Give thanks because he's the Lord of lords. You get the theme here? And he's saying, give thanks. Give the thanksgiving that's due God's great name. Lift him up. Sing his songs. Share his provisions and all he's done for you. What great things he's done for you. And you will have people at times, family or other, co-workers, whatever. You'll have those moments where somebody will say to you, Why do you seem to be happy? Where is that coming from? Why do you seem to have a view of your work or money? What's going on there with your marriage? Why? Because God has done it. God is gracious. Doesn't mean that everything in life is smooth. No problems, no issues. It means that God is good in everything. He's worthy of glory and praise and surrender. And others should hear about that. Can you imagine in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when word began to spread to other towns and other communities? We got to go hear this guy. Who is this one? Because people were testifying, sharing what great things he had done for them. I just can't imagine bringing people with sickness and health issues and mental problems and people by the thousands trying to get to the Messiah. Can you imagine the tears and the thanksgiving because Jesus Christ healed their loved one? We just read it and it kind of comes and goes. Just ponder how magnificent and glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. I told my dad, currying him back, that I said, I'm trying to stay tethered to one of the Gospels every week, every day. I got to keep one foot tied to reading one of the Gospels the rest of my days. Because it's just incredible to read and watch and hear our great Savior. Oh, It's just, there's days I can't get through a chapter. It's just incredible what he was doing and people that were giving thanks to him. That's us. That's us. It's what he's doing for us. It's not just past tense. It's right now. It's today. It's a sunglasses case that meant something to my dad that God kept it for him. It didn't fall out of the car. Didn't get lost. God is good. Second, giving thanks to God for His provisions. His provisions. Some of you need work. Some of you have difficulties of needs. But when we say giving thanks to God for His provisions, we're not just talking about things of monetary value. Yes, as I said, the shoes that we have, the vehicles that we have, the winter jacket, whatever, it's God's kindness. And we didn't deserve any of it. It's mercy. And we ought to be thankful for all of those things. But God's provision for His people is in abundance. It's not just things and stuff. It's His provision in all of your life. He provides for your needs. I'm just going to look at this in a few categories because this could fill up our time, an hour or two or three or four if we stayed on this one. His provision for our needs. You remember what He said to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 8, this theme. This is good for us. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt watch football games and be idolaters or whatever. No. So you can watch a football game, guys. Just keep it in its proper perspective. I have to do the same with round ball or whatever every now and then I like to take in. But God says when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless God. You'll give Him thanks, the Lord God, for the good land which He hath given thee. Jeff, the last couple of days, I thought about y'all and I thought about Alan and Legia moving on the land, new place to, it's just a passing through spot. But God puts y'all there. And I thought about this truth. When you've eaten, when you're full, when you have your children, your family, He says, thou shalt give thanks or bless the Lord thy God for what He hath given thee. For what He hath given thee. You see how big this is in terms of its permeating all of life, how we view everything. You know, what you would get early in your marriage, or if you're single and you just don't have much, but what you have is by the grace of God, and 5 years from now you may have a little bit more to be a steward of, to be a good steward of, and how you view it. Are you thankful for it? Are you ready to give it away if need be? In terms of giving it to God or to others in need? Oh, beloved, we've all eaten and have been full, haven't we? We have. And God gets the glory. He's done it. We'll bless Him, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Today, tomorrow. Another theme, God provides deliverance from hard situations. We're talking about God's provisions, giving thanks to God for His provisions for us. Hard situations. It could be you, dear sisters, having to go through childbirth, and it's a rough one. Sometimes it's not as rough. But sometimes it's something like that. It could be a situation with others that give you trouble. I thought of Prisca. Where's Prisca again? I saw her a while ago. Sister, where are you? There she is. A supervisor. I better be careful because I don't know how many people will hear this tape or this recording. Right? There's hard situations. Businesses in total, not everybody's really that friendly. You could have hard situations. A hard supervisor. A hard co-employee. A hard college professor. Krista shared with my dad a story of one of her professors that wore her out. Of course, he was a professor for 42 years. Dad, did you wear anybody out? I'm sure he was thinking about, you didn't just stroll in Dad's accounting class and just say, oh yeah, I'll skate through this. You better have some good running shoes on. So we were talking about it in hard situations, and there are faculty members, and there are corporate executives, and there are people you work with, and they begin to do this to you. Whether they, quote, plan it or not, God is in it. It's not easy. Those are hard situations. Sometimes it's dear fellow pilgrims, Christians in the earth today, missionaries, those that are out there that are being persecuted and hunted down and horribly treated. whatever the context. But there are hard situations, and God brings help. He delivers. Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Beloved, I'm not trying to say I understand your situation, if it's going on 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years. You may have an uncle or a friend or a family member or a neighbor that's really, really hard. And you need to look to God. And sometimes in 2 weeks or 2 years, finally He brings deliverance. And you give thanks to Him. God did it. I imagine there were a few soldiers on the day that Goliath went down that those soldiers gave thanks to God. That wicked one has been crushed. God took care of him. Our attitude has to be right. Our spirit right. We have to wait upon the Lord. It's not easy to endure through those things. I'm not implying that. But God, in His perfect time, will rescue you and me. He does it so that we would give thanks unto His name. Lord, help us. There will be opposition. So that's a provision. You see the theme? This theme right here could be a good one to talk about in your homes and maybe even further with each other. Another provision of God, His relief or His tender mercies in and through discouragement. His provision. Just when you're downcast, heavy, hard days, hard weeks, whatever, in His Word, it comes alive. He speaks. An exhortation, a truth, a sermon from the past, a memory. God did this. And it lifts you. It lifts you up. I love that language in the Scriptures. He lifts us up. It's a beautiful language. Brother Brian Elsie is my fellow friend about dancing before God. Oftentimes, dancing before God in a biblical language is not just because everything has gone great. It's because God just did something glorious. Miriam took up her timbrel, right? The sea collapses on Pharaoh's army. Hey, glad that's behind us. Let's keep going. Hardly. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. We used to sing that song, didn't we, Tom and Betty, in those years at the Denton Church a long time. And the kids would get excited. We ought to teach all these kids that song. They need to learn that ethic that God will do it. Look to Him. We sing unto Him. We rejoice in Him. We got to be careful to not murmur, to not go down the path of, as Lee was warning, about temptation, things will draw us away. We have to stay the course, believe in God, and He will lift us up. Here it is. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Nick, you're free to stand up and dance here anytime you want to, brother. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end. Why? Why? To what end? To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. I'm going to say something about it. There were many that Jesus healed that He told them to give God glory. Go and tell others. Publish abroad what God did for you. There are others He said no. But we ought to be publishing abroad what God did. Be not silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. You remember my question, would others call you, me, a thankful person? How is that quantified? How do they see that? Beloved, God will deliver and does deliver us from sorrow and discouragement, and He will bring dancing, and He will bring gladness, and He will bring song. He will bring forth for His name's sake. All of you can share stories on this. He comes and He lifts you up. And we are desperate for that, ultimately, all the time. Sometimes it's more acute, more weighty. So God's provisions for His people, giving thanks, lifting up His name and praise. And third, giving thanks to God in corporate worship. Corporate worship. Now, corporate worship is here in the big assembly, but it deals with the men's retreat and the women's studies and the prayer meetings and the individual fellowship times when the shepherds, when the pastors come in, elders come in, and we have pastoral visits. This that should be full of thanks to God. Sometimes through the years, I've asked families, tell me something that's difficult right now and tell me something y'all are thankful for, what God has done. It's a great way to trigger God being on our focus, our views. So giving thanks to God in corporate worship. The first two categories, giving praise to God for His greatness and giving thanks to God for His provisions, those are personal. They're very, very personal. Yeah, we share in those, but they're personal. How does Victoria, how does Brother Michael give thanks to God? How is that seen in their life, my life? Personal. I mean, we all got more ground to gain here. Be you thankful. But this third category, this category is corporate. It's in the assembly of God's people. We give thanks to God together. We share in this together. We hear brothers and sisters share. We hear a testimony. We hear a story. We hear of a deliverance, a provision desperately needed, and we give thanks to God. We testify. It's beautiful. It's so fundamental to the Christian community. The book of Acts, we see this. And those were not easy days. The gospel was going forth. God was being exalted, but men were under tremendous persecution and intense opposition. And yet the churches were being built up. God was being exalted. Jesus was being worshiped. So it is corporate. Beloved, when we come in here for church worship, we are all to participate. It doesn't mean that we're going to have 148 people all get to talk that day. But we're in. I'm part of this. Anybody that played a sporting event, just because you didn't start the game and you're in the team and your moment may come. A lot of games, a lot of championships have been turned because somebody down the bench got in the game and changed the game. Point being, we're all in this. That's a game. That's down here. We're talking about God's people. Jeff gave that beautiful exhortation, that word at the men's retreat, about every member, even the ones that seem so insignificant, talking about every member in the body. So that means that all of us give thanks to God. Sometimes we come in and we're just so dry. We're just so flat. And we rob each other. We rob God the glory to His name. And we rob each other of stirring each other up to the high praise of God. It's corporate, beloved. Be ready. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The psalmist is getting to the heartbeat, isn't he? It's a glorious truth. It doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter how big the church is. 12 people, 112 people, 1,200 people. All are to enter in and enter His courts with thanksgiving. Oh, so needful for the building up of the body, for God's name to be exalted, and for children and young ones to hear of the greatness of God. That's why so often when we testify and share stories, the little ones hear it, and you never know how impactful that is to them. Oh, man. Sometimes now, I've told you all this, sometimes now I tell stories that my older kids hear and they don't remember them. And sometimes they stop and say, I never knew that, Dad. But we have to share those stories because it gives God the glory. And when we do that within the church body, it builds each other up. We are to come ready to thank Him and praise Him and bless Him. That's what the psalmist said. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him and bless Him. These are to mark our assemblies. Not in a canned way. We're not trying to force anything from the heart. Another text, another passage, Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Sometimes when Matt gets a trip or with Michael gets sometimes, can you tell us about it? That's what it should be. Mac has said through the years, he said, I want to get better and better. I want to share. I want to testify what God did. Some of those letters we get from missionaries, some of them we can't even say their names in public. You read through those and it stirs God's people. Just wonderful. We're talking. Our corporate gatherings should be full of thanksgiving and joy. We shouldn't have to try to squeeze it out of each other. How was your week? What God do? What are you going through? What has He done? You should be ready. It needs to be authentic from the heart. Our sharing times let you and others share or testify of the great works and provision and care of God in your life. It exalts God when you share. When you share individually, when you share with the body, it exalts God and it helps God's people. It's just such a means of grace that we ought to be thinking on. Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Here it goes. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Sometimes we're timid, I know. Sometimes it's a little scary, right, to share with the body. It doesn't have to be some long thing. Just let it be from the heart. Just like we do with our children or those we love. We're family. We're all in this together. It's okay if I break out crying because I remember Lloyd Jones leaving this life. Later, I was kind of embarrassed. I thought, there's 25 men in there. I thought, what in the world's Philip's problem? Well, so be it. I just was overcome. It just was beautiful to me. Man's life. And it just came back to me all in a moment's time. Nobody said anything to me. He's left me alone. But we have these things on our hearts and we share them. I will pay my vows now in the presence unto the Lord, and now in the presence of all His people. In a sense, beloved, it's like you store up some things. You hang on to some things so you're ready to share with others. The prayer meetings, that's a good time to share those things. And you can come in and when we're ready to say, hey, who has something? And you can say, listen to what God did for me or my friend or my child. And God is exalted and His people are built up. Finally, the last text, Paul with the Ephesian Christians. He would stir them in their worship, their type of worship, the marks or the features, characteristics of how they would worship. And he did this with the Ephesians. He exhorted them to be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Singing, worship, all that we're about is a form of giving thanks to God. It's vertical. It is horizontal because we're in it together, but it's vertical and we're all entering in this together. When Mark Webb played that guitar last week and sang, I'd never heard him sing like that. Had anybody heard him? Maybe Baker had. That was powerful. It was beautiful. It was just full of reality. Coming from his heart. And so in that moment, he was singing and making melody to the Lord. But in his own way, and the way we entered into it, we were all giving thanks to God for the truths he was singing about. Yes, beloved, speaking, singing, and giving thanks in the assembly. Thanking God in the corporate setting of His people. Beloved, are we those that give thanks? Are we those that individually and within the body in different ways do we manifest that? Are we living in this reality? Yes, but more grounds out there for us. As we close, I would like for you just to think on this theme and just whatever it might be on your heart, but let's do a little bit of this today. Let's just give thanks to God in the assembly. Brother or sister, let me go first. I want to take just a few minutes, meaning to let each of you, and then I'll share first, and then I'll sit down, and Brother Allen will come to close the time here in a few minutes. I want you to have opportunity, but let me go first. Giving thanks to God in the assembly, in corporate worship. This church started 20 years ago, and in 20 years, we've never lacked somewhere with a roof to meet with our great God and Savior. 20 years. To the world, it's not a very impressive sojourn of 20 years. To us, it's beautiful, full of the kindness of God. The first 2 or 3 years, we met in a home. And then God had provided a meeting room at the Good Samaritan Retirement Village. And we met there for 3-4 years. And we had dear men come and preach some special services. But he's got us. The Lord has us. Thanks be to him. Abruptly, less than 30 days, you're going to have to be out. God provided. We went back into a home setting. The home setting was ready. It was big enough. It was there for us. God took care of us. He was shepherding us. We were there 4 years, almost the month. God opened the Denton Senior Center to us. And that became our meeting place. That's not the essence of who we are. The essence of who we are is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We're not a structure. We're not a big, beautiful monument sign and programs and lights and entertainment. We're the people of Jesus Christ. We live and move and have our being in him. We love him. And so all of a sudden now, we go back from the home, we go into the senior center. And God was with us there. He was shepherding us along, taking care of us. And then March of 2020 came. And they shut that place down. And God has taken care of us. We've had a roof. We've had a place to be inside. We've had a place to sing, be together, pray, listen to the scriptures, love each other, give thanks to God, Lord. I mean, dear ones, he's taken care of us. You see? You see how good he is?